Notice, beginning in verse 11 of Joshua chapter 23. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else, if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Title of the message tonight is What's Next? It's up to you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for our time together tonight in your word, and how we pray that the Spirit of God would move mightily upon our hearts. Help us to understand that the choices we make do make a great difference. And as we face a brand new year, 2017, we're going to have every day opportunities for a multitude of choices. Lord, God forbid that we should make choices based upon the world or the flesh or culture, but make our choices based upon the Word of God to love you, to serve you, to make this year count for you. Now, Lord, you have your way in each of our lives, and Father, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, by the time you get to Joshua 23, basically, Israel has subdued the land. They've not taken out all of the Canaanites yet. They have subdued all the Canaanites. Now, their responsibility is to take them out. That's what the book of Judges was supposed to be about, them taking out. Unfortunately, they didn't do that. Here's Joshua now. He's at the end of his run as being leader over Israel. He's going to be passing off the scene. He's giving them final instructions, much like Moses gave Israel final instructions in the book of Deuteronomy before he died. His desire is that these people get the best. After all, God had provided a land for them flowing with milk and honey. They could have been in that land 40 years before if they just would have obeyed God. Instead, they walked around in the wilderness, but as soon as they crossed over the Jordan River, crossing over the Jordan, never a picture of going into heaven, crossing over Jordan was a picture of getting into the victorious Christian life. You see, there were battles when they crossed over Jordan. There aren't going to be any battles when you cross over into heaven. They will all be behind you at that time. But here they were looking for that land that God had used the Canaanites to prepare for them. This was God's special gift to them. He had given them victory after victory after victory. And the only time that they were ever defeated was when they didn't seek the Lord. Amen. You would think that they would be taking Joshua, the words he would have to say, to their heart so they could keep the land that God wanted them to have. Now, admittedly, there were some changes that were taking place. They had walked around in the wilderness all those years, and God had provided food every day for them. That stopped when they came into the promised land. As a matter of fact, think about this. The women were finally going to be able to get some new clothes. Their clothes had not wore out. Neither their clothes nor their shoes. There was no need for a Walmart going specialty shopping or going to the thrift store. I mean, they had wore the same clothes all of those years. Wilderness wasn't such a fun place. They could have had new clothes 40 years earlier if they just would have obeyed God and went in. But anyway, so here they are. They're in the new land. Now, it's one thing to conquer the new land. Now they're going to be ruling over that new land. They have got work to do. What is it going to be like? And when you read this passage, one thing that you learn quite clearly, it all depended on them. God had given them the victories. God wanted them to have the land, but they were going to have to make some right choices. These were God's people. He loved them. Joshua loved these people, and he wanted them to be able to stay in the land, and so he helped them. Now, let me just make a parallel here. We're facing a new year, 2017. I mean, it's only 4 days old, so we've got 361 days left in this year. Now, has God blessed us? He has, hasn't he? He's blessed us over and over and over again. God's done a lot of things in our lives to get us to this point. When I look at Madison Baptist Church and just see all the souls that have been won to Christ and the people that have surrendered to ministry out of this church, the buses that run, the different ministries that go on, all of that, it's been tremendous. And I believe God has even better things for us in 2017, but we're going to have to make some right choices. God's not a welfare God. He's not just going to pass out blessing, blessing, blessing without something being required of us. He wants his people to be a charactered people. And so he doesn't just throw everything out at us. He does put some requirements upon us. Now, you know, every day you have choices to make. Some choices are rather mundane choices. Like, for instance, I get up in the morning and while I'm shaving, I'm thinking, am I going to eat yogurt this morning for breakfast or am I going to stop at Dunkin' Donuts? And Dunkin' Donuts usually wins. All right. I make choices. You have to make choices every day. But here's the thing. On any given day, you can make a really bad choice to do wrong. Our daughter's raised up in a Christian home, but they could decide tomorrow morning they're going to do wrong. And there would be consequences to that if they did. Every day I have to make choices. Am I going to read my Bible? Am I going to pray? Am I going to do right? Am I going to serve the Lord? Am I going to do something that I shouldn't be doing? Every day I have to make choices. And those are not choices without consequences. For God says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's amazing. We make choices based on what we want in spite of what God wants. And then we cry and complain and moan because we don't get the consequences we wanted. But to get the right consequences, you have to make the right choices. And the thing is, God does not leave us in the dark about what the right choices are. The answer's right here in the Word of God. So I see some parallels as these people were getting ready to go into a land that God had for them. They didn't know what the future held for them. They had some promises of God to go with them. So what are some of the truths that God gives through Joshua to his people and that we can share with ourselves here as we begin a brand new year? Number one, I want you to get this. Men come and go, but God's word remains the same. Look at verse 14. Here's Joshua. Notice what he says. And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. You see, Joshua remembered when he was number two man to Moses. And you remember when Moses went up on Mount Nebo and was no more, and now Joshua had a job to do. Well, now Joshua is going to be passing off the scene. But that's what men do, because you see, we're only temporary here. I can look back at men who've had a tremendous impact in my life. I know John Rice had a tremendous impact in my life, and I didn't even know the guy just through reading the books that he had written and reading The Sword of the Lord back in the 1970s and going to conferences. He had an impact on my life. He had an impact on fundamentalism in America. But he's been dead now for almost 35 years. He's gone. Lester Roloff. I remember the first time I ever heard Lester Roloff. It was on a Wednesday night at Highland Park Baptist Church. And I remember Dr. Robertson mentioning that Lester Roloff had been sick most of the day. He had gone over to visit him, but he came out to preach that night. Of course, he'd been in a mess with the one of the departments of HEW or something like that, DHR, out in Texas, had even been thrown in jail because he wouldn't take a license from them for his homes. Here was a man who, he got up, he began to talk, and I thought, well, he's kind of country. And then while he's preaching, he just starts singing. And I thought, boy, he doesn't sing very good. You know, if I couldn't sing any better than that, I don't think I'd sing while I was preaching. And then he'd preach some more, and then he'd sing some more, and then he'd preach some more. It wasn't long. I couldn't wait till he sang some more. I just enjoyed it. I mean, this guy took a stand for things. Tremendous man of God, did a great work for God, but he's gone. And he's been gone for a number of years now. Dr. Lee Robertson, I remember when I first went to Highland Park Baptist Church, he'd stand up there. Man, to me, he reminded me he would be my perfect picture of Moses. When he would raise up those hands like that and tell people now, stay the course. Don't go to the right hand or to the left. Right down the middle. Stay the course. Wow. Now I'm older than what he was when I went there. And he's gone on to glory. I can think of other men, but we go back to people that we've only read about. People like, for instance, D.L. Moody and the tremendous impact he had on sharing the gospel. Or men like, who was the guy that followed him? R.A. Torrey. Billy Sunday. Tremendous impact in the early part of the 1900s. But they're gone. Men come and go. And to be sure, people may have their favorites. Listen, there's going to be time I'm not going to be here. Matter of fact, there's going to be a time you're not going to hear Brother Allison preach any place because I'll be in glory. And when I get to glory, I'm not coming back here to preach. I'm going to be enjoying the vacation. I'm going to be enjoying being with God. But that's the way that it works. Men are only temporary, but God's word is eternal. I remember back in the 80s and 90s, there seemed to be a big movement that was against standards, that was basically based on culture. When people came across a Bible verse they didn't like those 16 verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 dealing with short hair on men and long hair on ladies, they would try to blame culture. Well, you got to understand their culture back then. No, I don't need to understand their culture back then. I need to understand the Bible today. The Bible is not based on culture. We do not allow culture to judge the Bible. The Bible judges a culture. How we know whether or not a culture has any semblance of godliness or any right in it is when we read the Word of God. Good night. In this nation, we've been murdering babies in their mother's womb legally for the last 40-some years. I mean, you realize most of the people seated here tonight, most of the people that come to Madison Baptist Church have only known a nation that murders babies by abortion. That's wicked. And if it goes on for another 100 years, it'll still be wicked. How do you know that? I got a Bible. That's how I know it. You see, God's word never changes. Psalm 100 and verse 6 says it is truth, endureth forever. Psalm 119, verse 160 declares, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. We have got the eternal word of God, and God's not changing it. It is settled forever. I know someone once said that, I forgot what they said, so let me go on with the message. If it comes to me later, I'll remind you, okay? There you go. See, men come and go. As a matter of fact, long before we're gone, our minds leave us. Goes on vacation early. And all of you over 80, say amen. All right. Got a number of verses down here about the frailty of man. Like 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now see, Joshua was trying to get this across to the people in his day. Men are just temporary, but God's word, it's going to be around no matter how many different men come. One of the saddest testimonies about Israel is that Israel always seemed to go the direction that their leader went. When Solomon went into sin, people followed him. When Rehoboam chose other gods, people followed him. And unfortunately, in churches, you would think everybody that's been born again, that has read the word of God, that they would demand, I want a church that's going to stand on thus saith the Lord, that we're not going to compromise, we're not going to change, we're not going to follow the culture, we're not going to follow what everybody else wants, we're not going to follow the dictates of our heart, we're going to follow God's word. But I'll tell you what, every church, a pastor comes in that doesn't like this part, doesn't like that part, it's not long, they're doing all those things that they taught their kids they weren't supposed to do. Because they follow a man. Nothing wrong in following a man in righteousness. But when you follow men away from the Word of God, it says something about your commitment to the Word of God. You see, he's trying to get them to make the right choices so that they can have the blessings of God in the new land. It's a great land. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's everything God said it was. That's marvelous. But they only get to keep it if they obey God's word. We face 2017. And I look at the blessings that we've had at Madison Baptist Church over the years. But do you realize that all over America today, there are churches that at one time were soul winning stations where thousands were saved that now don't even have church services? All over America, when I went to Tennessee Temple University, Highland Park Baptist Church, there is no more Highland Park Baptist Church. It's gone. It's now the Church of the Highlands. Doesn't meet in Highland Park. It meets outside of Chattanooga. And they have their rock concerts on Sunday night. As some of you know where Camp Joy was at, it's just up the hill from Camp Joy. And the people meeting at the church that's at Camp Joy, they have to close their windows because the music is so loud coming down from the Church of the Highlands up there. No longer standing. Listen, none of that stuff would have been allowed at Highland Park when I was a student there. None of it. It's gone. How'd they lose it? I could take you to Terre Haute, Indiana. And I'll not mention the name of the church, but there was a church there where thousands of people were saved. And today, not a church there. It's gone. Big buildings, everything. Lost it all. I got news for you. One day, Madison Baptist Church will go that way. And that is scary. You remember what Paul warned Timothy? He said, the time will come when they, Timothy, the people you preach to, Timothy, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. Oh, get this. You want 2017 to be a great year? Remember the God that got us here? You better stay close to Him. You better keep loving Him. That same word that's been preached from the time when Tony Stark first got up that first Sunday at Madison Baptist Church and began to preach from the book, that same book is the book that we've got to hold to today. Men pass off, but God's word stays the same. Another thing we learn from this passage, God will keep His promises of all good things. Now we look here in the passage, and even in verse 14, when he said that not one thing hath failed of all good things that the Lord your God spake concerning you. God did what He said He would do. Do you realize all the good things that God asks for His children, God follows through on? For instance, let's just take heaven. With regards to heaven, He's promised me heaven. He saved me. Heaven is my destiny. When I die, I get to go be with Him. Now, all because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called on Him to save me in 1971 at WAOP radio station. The Bible says He did. Now, you might say, well, preacher, how do you know that you're going to heaven when you die. I'm not going to tell you that I had a flash of lightning go through my soul. I'm going to tell you this. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. The Word of God says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. According to the Word of God, I have everlasting life. And I have it because I put my faith in Jesus Christ to save me. He says so in His Word. For the last 40, let's see, this is 2017. So for the last 45, well, it's been over 45 years. I have known Jesus Christ as my Savior. And you know what? He saved me just like He saved people back in the 1800s. Just like He kept His Word to people in the 1600s and in the 1500s and the 1400s and all the way back to the day of Pentecost when He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's done it. We have a marvelous God. With regards also to Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them were the called according to His purpose. The Bible does not say that everything's worked together for good for Christians. He says all things work together for good to them who love God. Amen. There are some believers that don't love Him. There are believers that don't love Him. And if you don't love Him, everything doesn't work together for good. God had promises for Israel. He was keeping His Word. And here He's reminding them, you better keep keeping His Word, or you'll lose that land God gave you. That's His promise too. I'll be with you. I'll fight your battles for you, God's saying. I'll be there. But you turn on me, is I won't fight the battles for you. And the very people that you ran off are going to come back and kick you out of the land if you don't stay faithful to me. That's a God of love. You know, people have got this sickly idea of a God, kind of white-haired, sitting up on a throne, looking down at His people saying, oh, tisk, tisk, they're not everything they ought to be, but that's okay. I'm just going to pour out my big bag of goodies to them in spite of what they're doing. That's not a God of love. That's not even a holy God. But the God of heaven is holy. He is righteous. He does judge sin. You can count on it. He's given us tremendous promises about prayer. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Thank God for His promises on prayer. How many times in the last 45 years I've been able to commune with God and to pray and seek God's face and see God answer prayer marvelously. That's a blessing. You know, He can do it again in 2017. He can answer prayer this year too, and He wants to, but Psalm 66:18 declares, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In Isaiah 59, God said to His children Israel, Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is there heavy that He cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sin has hid His face from you that He will not hear. Now, God wants to hear your prayer. In 2017, He wants to, but you can't live in sin and have Him hear your prayer. You can't walk in disobedience to Him. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter 28, He declares this, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. For that person who makes a conscious choice, I'm not going to go and listen to God's Word. Because they'd rather watch something on TV or want to watch a Thursday night NFL game or the Super Bowl on a Sunday night. Then that person's prayer is an abomination. And you know, I preach that. Everybody used to say amen to it. Now I preach it and some people absolutely know I don't agree with that. Well, He's pretty plain about it here in the Scripture, just like He was being plain to Israel right here. You want to keep that land that I've given you with all the victories you've seen, then all right, you love me and you stand by my word. So He lets us know that God will keep His promise of good things to each of us. Not only that, God will also keep His promise of chastisement. Turn over to, and He tells them that here in the passage, but turn over, if you would, please, to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 12. Losing my voice tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, his promise of chastisement was back there in verses 15 and 16 of Joshua chapter 23. But notice this, these New Testament verses. In verse 5, he says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." Now stop right there for just a moment. There are some more liberal commentators that want to translate chastening simply as child training. Much like you might train a child to color in a box or something like that. Color within the lines. But this chastening is more than that. If you don't think it's more than that, look at the rest of verse 6. "And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." There is both chastening and scourging for his children. And he makes this very plain. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. How can God be a God of love and chasten me? Same way a father who really loves his children are going to chasten them when they need it. Same way a pastor who really loves his people is going to tell them the truth about their lifestyle, whether they like it or not. Why? Because you love them. God does that. But now God does what we can't do. I can't put you over my knee. But God can do that. But look at the choice of words again. "And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now, I got to studying on that one day. And I find that normally when God's people sinned, the first thing God would do, you look at his people Israel, is he would send a preacher, a prophet, to come and preach to them, to tell them about their sin and to warn them to get right, or what would happen to them if they didn't get right. And when they wouldn't listen to the preacher, and many times when God would send a preacher in, the people would get stiff-necked and they would rebuke the preacher for saying anything. And then that's when God would bring in the Babylonians or bring in the Philistines or bring in the Midianites or the Amalekites or the Amorites. And many Israelites died. Do you understand that the scourging of God is not something like three or four whacks with a paddle? It's severe. God means business. Read through your Bible. The loving God, when he scourges, it is always severe. We've got so many milquetoast preachers who water down what God says about judgment so that nobody in their congregations fear God anymore. They think they can do what they want with impunity, and God's not going to stand up and do anything about it. Well, friend, he may be long-suffering with you, but the scourging comes if you don't get right. Now, he's reminding these people, not only were the promises good that God gave you, but the promises he's giving you, if you decide to turn from him, not follow his word, not listen to his word, he's going to keep those two. Back to the passage. Again, verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." Now, that word bastard is a word that simply means illegitimate. By the way, that word bastard, illegitimate, is a legitimate word. Culture, society, has made it a curse word. As a matter of fact, people that word would describe today, if you describe somebody like that that actually is one of those, you'd be judged as the most unkind, uncaring, judgmental person in the world. It's a Bible word. It describes people. I don't need to define it for you tonight, do I? I wonder today if most people even know what it means. What he's saying is, if you can live with impunity what you want to do and there not be the chastening and the scourgings of God, you're illegitimate. You don't belong to Him, which means you've never been born again. He chastens His children. He scourges His children. You say, well, what about the lost and their wickedness? Well, they get what's coming to them. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The law of sowing and reaping goes with them. And they're going to face a holy God in judgment, have to stand that. But right now, the children of God have to face chastening and scourging both. Now, here I am, pastor. Well, let me take it as a daddy. I had two of the sweetest girls in the world. It tore my heart out to spank them. Tore my heart out. Did I spank you? Was it fun? Never. Never fun. And each time it probably seemed like it was going to last a long time. I never just gave them two or three licks. You see, the purpose, there's a twofold reason for chastening. I didn't share this morning, though, to get the recording for them to hear it. There's a twofold reason for chastening and discipline in the home. One of those is punishment. Man. The other is preventative. In other words, you want them, when you're done spanking, you want them to think the next time they think about doing that, is it worth it? And you want the answer to come back, no, it's not worth it. That'll keep them out of a lot of trouble. Amen. This little pat, pat, pat nonsense. Brother, that's why so many kids never get it. I'll tell you another reason a lot of kids don't get it. A lot of them don't get it because all they know, mom and dad don't do the discipline stuff until they're mad enough to do it. He makes that point later on, by the way, in this passage here. And you know what the kids are thinking when that takes place? Dad's mad. Why are you getting a spanking? Dad's mad. See, I spanked my children when they disobeyed. I didn't wait till I got mad. Good. Let me tell you where abuse takes place. When you do it and you're angry.
Right.
If you spank when you're supposed to spank, which is the first time they disobey you, you're not angry yet.
Right.
And so you can do it right. You can do it under control. And you can end it with, and I love you, and you don't feel bad, and they feel good, and fellowship is restored. Now, they don't feel good back here, but they do feel good in here.
Right.
Every time when I was done spanking my daughters, I would always say, honey, I love you very much. And they would always say back to me, and I never taught them to do this. It's natural when you do it right. They would say, I love you too, Daddy. And then we would just sit and love. Fellowship restored. But it takes time. That doesn't happen in a 2-minute spanking. It takes time. And it takes a loving parent. He that spareth the rod, the Bible says, hateth his son. He that loveth him, chasteneth him betimes. Anyway, God will keep his promise of chastisement. Over and over again to the churches of Asia Minor in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, 5 of the churches had sin in the church. The first one was the church at Ephesus, and their sin was not a sin of commission. Their problem was they had left their first love. And he told them, repent or else I'll remove thy candlestick from thee. To 5 churches he said, repent. Or else, those were to his churches, his people, repent, or else. Here he's telling God's people, all right, you got a new land. God's given it to you. All of his promises have come true. Now love him, live for him, follow his word. I don't care who the leader is, because leaders come and go. You stay true to the word of God, and you'll never be moved off the land. But they didn't even go through the next book before they turned from God. They didn't even go many years before they turned from God. What's wrong with them? What's wrong with people today brought up in good Christians' homes where the parents saw God do some wonderful things? And the kids no more than get out of the home and they're ready to turn their back on everything? that they were taught. You wonder, what's wrong with them? See, at least the Israelites in the Old Testament, they didn't have a complete Bible. We got a complete Bible. We can see what God has done over the years. Now, here's the point. What promises we get are up to us. They're up to us in the choices that we make. For instance, tomorrow morning, I'll have to make a choice whether or not to read my Bible. If I don't read my Bible tomorrow morning, who will know it? Besides God. Who will know it? I'll know it. And God will know it. And you know what? That's enough for me. If I don't pray tomorrow morning, who will know it? None of you are hanging around here early in the morning when I'm praying, walking through the auditorium. You wouldn't know it if I didn't pray tomorrow morning, but God would know it. That's enough for me. See, every day I have to make choices. In our home, we have to make choices. Every time you get on a computer, you have to make choices. Are you going to go to the wrong places on the computer or not? That's your choice. Well, I've got this addiction. No, you've got a sinful heart just like the rest of us, and you've got sinful flesh just like the rest of us, and it's a matter of choice. Thank God the old man's been crucified with Christ, and we don't have to make the wrong choice. But when we make the wrong choice, there's consequences. So here we are in 2017. Is there anybody here that wants a horrible year? Is there anybody here who wants the discipline, the chastening of God, and the scourging of God in your life? I don't. Say, no, preacher, we don't want to make the right choices. But you see, it's up to you. Now, admittedly, there are going to be things happen throughout the year. There are going to be things. We're going to have disappointments in the year, things like that. Natural part of life, especially living in a sinful world. But I'm talking about having the blessing of God in our life, are going through life with the chastening and scourging hand of God. What does God want for you? He loves you. He wants the best for you. He's done so much for you. But you've got to make the right choices. Now imagine, if I had in this hand right here, a Reese's peanut butter cup. And I had in this hand spinach. And I said, brought up one of these children. And I said, all right, I'm going to give something to you for free. It's your choice. And I show them the Reese's peanut butter cup. And I show them the spinach. And I'm hoping they'll choose the spinach because I want to eat the Reese's peanut butter cup myself. Now, let's say they choose the Reese's peanut butter cup. Then what they get is the sugar high and probably another half pound or so. And they miss all the vitamins and nutrients that are right there. Gets flu season. They get sickly. That's from eating too many Reese's peanut butter cups. Should eat spinach. You'd be healthier now. You'd be wrong choice. You know, we choose a lot of Reese's peanut butter cups, don't we? Because that's what the flesh wants. You know, when I was a kid, I couldn't stand broccoli. Today, you give me enough ranch dressing, I can eat it. I don't much care for it cooked. I like it straight up, man. It's a manly meal. Eating that broccoli with ranch dressing. Which is a testimony as to why I'm so healthy. No, it's a testimony. Hopefully it undoes some of that Dunkin' Donuts stuff that I've been eating. But anyway, the point is you've got choices to make. You can make the right choice, get the right results, with God's blessing on your side, with a God that will hear and answer prayers, which is what He wants to do. He wants to have a living, vibrant relationship with you. But God doesn't force Himself on you. He says, here's what I want. And if you make this choice, here's what you get. You make this choice, here's what you get. But the choice is yours. I want the Lord. I want the blessings of the Lord. I want the hand of the Lord. Now I realize I'm on the downside of time for me. I don't have another 45 years to serve the Lord here. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? You'd have to wheel me up here. That just wouldn't work. Not going to happen. As a matter of fact, I realize my time, relatively speaking, is getting pretty short. I want to go outright. But I'm the guy who's got to make the right choices for that to happen. God wants me to make the right choices so that'll happen. If I don't, it won't be God's fault. It'll be whose fault? Yeah. Same way with you. Every day, make the right choices. What's next? It's up to you. 2017, make the right choices. Make the right choice tonight. Man, you're in church tonight. Right choice. Good choice. Amen. Make the right choice tomorrow. With every choice that comes along. Don't just say, what would Jesus do? Say, what does God say in His Word? I'm going to obey Him. And that will be enough. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I do pray the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts, challenge our lives tonight. We do have a year ahead of us. And it really doesn't make any difference who the leader of the country is. Our requirements are exactly the same, no matter who would be president. Men come and go, but your word is eternal. Now, I pray that all over this congregation, we'd have people saying, I am going to live for the God of the Bible. Lord, have your way in our lives. I beg it in Jesus' name.